Do you like blogs? Well, join the conversation.
Yeah, for years, you know, I didn't blog, and then all of a sudden I thought, you know, there are just certain subjects that are worth writing about and on. Engage, comment on JB Sophia's blogspot.com. That's JBSOFIAS blogspot.com.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
You know, it's somewhat difficult to go back to that day because we are experiencing the grace of that day. You know, we're not there. We're experiencing what Christ did. You know, from heaven to earth he came. So to us who have entered in, this is, although certainly the most solemn day in Christendom, it is also the most joyous day for those of us who have entered in.
It's an ever-changing truth in an ever-changing world. Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Today on Change by the Word, well, it's Good Friday, my friend, the greatest day of the year.
It is certainly the most sacred day in Christendom.
I think it's the greatest day of the year. Then again, I'm a Christian, so I have a right to say that.
Yes. The most wonderful time of the year is Christmas. Yep. The most glorious time of the year is Easter. The most sacred day in all of history has to be Good Friday.
Good Friday, I agree.
Yeah. So for a number of years, I preached on Good Friday. I remember I preached a sermon one time, Blaine, about the cross.
Right.
And I had all these different symbols of the cross, from the Irish cross to the one that Madonna wore around her neck. And we talked about, is it an icon or is it the real thing?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But this sermon or homily is entitled The Way of the Cross Leads Home. And what brought me to this on this Good Friday, and I guess I should detour for a moment. Now we bring in Messianic Jews that speak on Good Friday.
Right.
And it's quite a powerful night. We have communion. It's just we reflect, and they bring their perspective from the culture. It's just a wonderful night. But anyway, back to this, The Way the Cross Leads Home. It was a hymn we used to sing in church. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. So what is the way of the cross? And that's what we develop in this homily, Blaine.
Right.
And in essence, it's the paradox of Christianity.
It sure is.
You know, the ways of God are not our ways. Mm. His thoughts are higher than ours. It's servitude instead of lordship. It's humility instead of self-exaltation. It's losing to win. It's choosing to be last instead of first, and that's a choice. It's kindness instead of retaliation. It's dying to live, a cross instead of a crown. I mean, we could go on and on.
Right.
So I'm thinking about this. Why would this melancholy choleric that we know as St. Paul, student of the renowned Gamaliel, give a 266-word defense of his apostleship and basically say, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified? When he knew more, he believed more, probably knew more than any of the other apostles, gave us the majority of the New Testament. Why would he reduce it to that? And that's what this homily is about.
Right.
Because nothing else really matters.
That's right.
and how many languages we speak, degrees you've compiled, wealth that you've accumulated, notoriety that you've achieved, gifts that you've given to the poor, kingdoms that you've built. None of it makes it really doesn't matter, I guess I should say.
Kind of insignificant when you stand up to the Lord of Lords.
Yeah. And really, what good is it if you haven't come via the way of the cross? The way of the cross leads home. We talk a little bit about that beautiful hymn, the favorite hymn for years and years, the old rugged cross. It said on a hill far away. It really wasn't on a hill far away.
No, it was right there in the center of town, so everybody could see.
Yep. It was outside of the gates, but it was there where everybody could see. They posted a guard so nobody would touch. So that's how close Jesus was to the masses, you know, the main traffic flow. They were able to say he saved others, himself he cannot save. Why? Because he was at a distance? No, because he was right there. It's not the cross plus you. It's the cross and cross alone. Cross and the cross alone. That summarizes it all.
Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
Change by the word.
So, simple question, are you comfortable? You know, it's somewhat difficult to go back to that day, because we are experiencing the grace of that day. You know, we're not there. We're experiencing what Christ did. You know, from heaven to earth he came. So to us who have entered in, this is, although certainly the most solemn day in Christendom, it is also the most joyous day for those of us who have entered in. Well, I'm looking at the time schedule, and I realized that we are just way over. That's right. You know, years ago, Good Friday service was 3 hours. How many of you remember the 3-hour service? Yeah, you all have mainline denominational backgrounds. Serious, from 12 to 3, stores shut down. And, you know, you were in church from 12 to 3. So I'm figuring 7:30 to 10:30. The songwriter entitled his hymn, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." And then he penned these simple yet profound words. "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. Yes, the way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go that the way of the cross leads home." What is the way of the cross? It is the paradox of Christianity. Can you say that with me? It is the paradox of Christianity. It's servitude instead of lordship. It's humility instead of self-exaltation. It's losing to win. It's choosing to be last rather than first. And notice it's a decision. Choosing to be last rather than first. It's kindness instead of retaliation. It's dying to live. It's a cross instead of a crown. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul as he references the way of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, but God forbid. The only place that phrase appears in all of the New Testament. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would a choleric melancholy who was a student of the renowned Gabriel, or I should say Gamaliel, why would he, just think of this for a minute. Do you remember his 266-word apologetic defense of his apostleship? This is what he says. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. Well, I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Besides everything else, and I'm not giving you all 266 words, he says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? Do I not feel weak? Look at the next sentence. He says, who is led into sin? Do I not inwardly burn? This one who took control and attended to the details, he says, I don't glory in anything. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the professor of professors, and I am telling you that I am determined to know nothing else except Christ and Christ crucified. When he knew more and he achieved more than any of the other apostles. Why did he say that? Because nothing else mattered. Can you say that with me? Because nothing else mattered. Outside of the cross, nothing else matters. How many languages you speak, how many degrees you have compiled, how much wealth you have accumulated, how much notoriety you have achieved, how many gifts you've given to the poor, how many kingdoms you've built, religious or non-religious, for yourself or for God, he says nothing else matters outside of the cross. Why? Because what are these accomplishments? What do they mean? What do they count for if they haven't come by the way of the cross? Songwriter understood it when he said the way of the cross leads home. Why must we come by the way of the cross? Because the cross is the only middleman God will accept. Does that make sense to you? Can you just look at your neighbor right in the eyes and say, do you realize the only middleman God will accept is the cross? Go ahead. He won't accept your goodness. In fact, your goodness, the Bible says, is as a filthy rag in the sight of God. Now, does that mean he doesn't want goodness? No, it doesn't. But when it comes to salvation, your goodness counts for nothing. Only Christ's goodness counts. He won't accept the church. That's merely an institution that supports us in living out our faith. He won't accept the sacraments. That's an enhancement to experiencing his presence. Just in the Old Testament, he says, it's not sacrifice that I desire, but a contrite heart. We're talking about anything we do relational to salvation, and the apostle says, it just doesn't matter outside of the cross. He won't accept your good works, lest you should boast. Now, does he say, I don't want your good works? No. In fact, he says, if you've really got the goods, you should produce good works. But our good works are only good to him in relationship to the blessings we receive here and the rewards we're going to get in heaven. Our good works, relational to salvation, count for nothing. Salvation comes by the way of the cross. Nothing, say it with me, else matters. That sounds so good. Nothing else matters. Father, tonight we bow before your work, before your very own Son who emptied himself and became a man. The scripture says, became nothing, just totally a slave to your will, from the crossing of the T to the dotting of the I, so that we could be your sons and daughters. And so we ask tonight, as we get a fresh glimpse of the cross, that we would realize in a new way the price that you paid so that we could belong to you. That indeed, the way of the cross leads home. Hide me. Lift up Jesus. And may none of us leave the same way we've come. The church said, amen. Let me remind you that the cross wasn't a pretty sight. In fact, it was pretty ugly. No offense to the songwriter, and I love the song. And if we don't sing it like communion, Doc will hear about it. But it's the old rugged cross. It was rugged, but I have to tell you, it didn't stand on a hill far away. It wasn't some beautiful painting of a silhouette that everybody looked at and is blown away. That wasn't the scene of the cross. The scene of the cross was something like this. And I showed it to you last year, but it's worth seeing again. It was just outside of the city limits, where the main traffic would enter and exit the city, where everybody who would come in and go out would have an opportunity to see. In fact, they had to post guards. You know why? Because the people would have touched. That's how close you could have been to the cross, where they could mock, spit, throw stones and sticks and whatever else. And they would say to him, "Hey, you saved others. Why can't you save yourself?" But he did not save himself so that he could save us. In liturgical churches all across the world yesterday, known as Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday, many people literally walk through the 14 stations of the cross, some of which are biblical, some of which are traditional. I'd like to take you to the third station. I'd like you to go with me. When you would get to the third station, the passage of Scripture is this. Jesus emptied himself, and he took the form of a slave. We worshiped him with these very words tonight. Being born in the likeness of men. Do you realize that the reason why Islam, the Muslim, can't accept Jesus is because they believe there is but one God. And they can't conceive that God would ever become a man. To them, that is disrespectful. Muhammad was a prophet, but he wasn't God. And so they just can't believe that God, that disrespects his position. But the scripture says that he humbled himself to death and a cross. And after we get to that third station, there's a response. There's a liturgical response where we, those who are now visiting the station, actually repeat these words. Could you say them with me? How strange to see you fall as anyone does who cannot go on. And yet you rise again to take the few steps more that you can. By your first fall, O Jesus, give your risen grace to those who fall and cannot rise. Who is it that's fallen? All of us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We're all fallen. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, no exceptions. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Hear me. That is why there's a cross. Because no man or woman can come to the Father except through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes to the Father except through me. What's he talking about? What it was he did for us on Calvary. It is not the cross plus you. Did you understand that? It's not the cross plus you. It is the cross and the cross alone. And whenever I use the word cross, I'm speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Not just an olive tree with a carpenter's 4x6 stretched out on top of it, but a man. It is all about Jesus. So why don't you receive him tonight? John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right. We don't have the right outside of Jesus. We don't have the right outside of the cross. Sacrament, the church, you, me. No middleman but Jesus. Right where you are tonight, you can receive him. Know without a shadow of a doubt, your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God. And heaven is your home. Could we bow our heads? I'm going to pray a prayer, just a sentence at a time. And as I pray, those of you who want to know without any question that you belong to God, that if for some reason you were to leave this life, you would spend it with him in eternity. That you're forgiven, that you're his son or daughter, just pray this prayer with me. Mean it in your heart. Just say something like this. Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Go ahead, just say it in your heart. Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. I admit to you, I've done things that are wrong. You called those things sin. So I confess to you, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. And the church said,
are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a printed resource that will help you understand this life-changing decision. It's our gift when you call 1-800-CHANGED. Just ask for the ABC pamphlet. The number again is 1-800-242-6433. You can also get a copy when visiting the website, cbtw.org. While you are there, you will find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, including archived radio programs, our Changed by the Word television program, all on demand. Changed by the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world. We constantly hear from those listening, not only here on WFIL, but from nations like Nigeria, Singapore, and the Philippines, just to mention a few. That only happens through the sacrificial gifts of our Changed by the Word partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Changed by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.